that certain transfers occurred, which were reviewed again in December of last year.
When did that authorization occur?
In August of 1985.
Administration officials contend the president probably learned of the shipments only after the fact. McFarland said, too, that he does not think his former assistant, Colonel North, acted on his own.
Lieutenant Colonel North is a person of integrity who, while devoted to the accomplishment of a mission, is certainly equally devoted to the upholding of U.S. law and thus would not have acted contrary to U.S. law, nor would he have taken initiatives without higher authority.
McFarland provided more detail of his participation behind closed doors.
I did not learn about any transfers of arms during 1986 in a direct way. But, as is always the case, you have bits and pieces of evidence float in, and so I weighed in on the basis of that, restating my views. What I heard was conflicting. At times, that there was some sort of deal or signal in the works, and at other times that the operation was closed down.
Secretary of State Shultz has been undercut again. Shultz has discovered that the U.S. ambassador in Beirut, John Kelly, has been dealing directly with the National Security Council. Shultz read his ambassador's belated report.
Between the dates of October 30 and November 4, 1986, I had numerous conversations with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and Richard V. Secord relating to the hostage negotiations with Iran. During that period, I received and sent numerous, quote, back channel, unquote, messages to and from the White House, Admiral Poindexter, concerning the hostage negotiations.
An embarrassed Secretary of State told the House Foreign Affairs Committee Ambassador Kelly is coming back to explain.
I am, to put it mildly, shocked to learn this after the event from an ambassador.
Shultz testified that he was not directly involved in the arms to Iran deal. He said the diversion of funds to the Contras was illegal.
From what I have seen and what the Attorney General said, some things took place that were illegal. And so that's clearly a mistake.
But he said he endorsed the appeal to the Sultan of Brunei for several million dollars worth of aid for the Contras at a time when Congress would not let the U.S. government help out.
The law did not preclude, quote, I'm quoting from the law that you passed, activities of the Department of State to solicit such humanitarian assistance for the Nicaraguan Democratic Resistance. So it was a perfectly proper activity for the Department of State, for me, to do that. There's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing improper about it. Quite the contrary. It was the policy of the United States, and I feel very good about anything that I can do to support the people in Nicaragua who are fighting for the freedom and independence of that country.
The committee also voted to allow CIA Director William Casey to testify in closed session Wednesday, but not without some objections to the idea of Casey testifying in secret.
Well, by golly, we got a CIA director, we got a scandal like this going on, and he won't come up here, then I think we need a different CIA director, Mr. Chairman.
Well,
the testimony was long and largely patient, but Congressman Don Bunker of Washington grumbled that someone must know more than Shultz and McFarland. And Chairman Dante Fussell said he's convinced more than ever that this is no way to run America's foreign policy.
Robert Owen is described as a contractor who helped channel humanitarian aid approved by Congress to the Nicaraguan Contras, and he is a friend of Oliver North, ousted from the National Security Council staff for his role in the Iran-Contra scheme. Owen refused to answer questions on Monday on the grounds of possible self-incrimination, an example set last week by Lieutenant Colonel North and former National Security Advisor John Poindexter. There was more than 3 hours of testimony from Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams. Afterwards, he said the Iran-Contra connection would not affect the U.S. Contra aid program, at least not yet.
$100 million is for FY87, and it will carry them through this fiscal year, which ends October 1, 1987.
Abrams said the Intelligence Committee instructed him not to discuss his testimony with anyone, including his boss, Secretary of State George Shultz, who had testified earlier in the day in the House. Republican Committee Chairman Dave Durenberger of Minnesota at the end of the day's session on the Fifth Amendment.
We're not sure what Owen would have contributed, but obviously he had some information that he or his counsel was concerned about, which is why he chose not to testify.
Despite reports of progress from the Intelligence Committee room, there are still gaps created by the use of the Fifth Amendment, gaps which must still be closed. Senator Durenberger said Monday it is time Oliver North and John Poindexter told President Reagan everything they know about the Iran affair. As Durenberger put it, so the president could tell the rest of us.
Mr. Hamilton, on the advice of counsel, I respectfully and regretfully decline to answer the question
because of my constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment.
We meet this morning to continue the committee's hearings on the president's policy to sell arms to Iran and the diversion and allocation of profits from these sales to the Contras.
Former National Security Advisor John Poindexter set the tone for the day's hearing before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Under the glare of television lights and cameras, Poindexter refused to answer when asked if he directed his former aide, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, in the Iran-Contra affair.
I'd like to answer that question and hope to be given an opportunity to do so at another time. However, on the advice of my attorneys, I must decline to answer that question at this time because of my constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment.
Poindexter, citing a possible investigation by an independent counsel, said he would talk to Congress at what he called an appropriate time. When Democrat Michael Barnes urged him to change his mind,
the worst thing that could happen to you is some jury somewhere will decide that you were guilty, and quite frankly, my judgment is that the worst thing that would happen then is you'd have a very short, probably suspended sentence somewhere, because no one believes that you were acting out of your own personal interests. Everyone would agree you were doing what you thought was best for the country. So all I'm asking you, sir, is when you leave here, to think about whether you might want to change your course and reject your counsel's advice. It's good advice. It's the right legal advice. But it may be the wrong thing for the country, sir.
It drew a sharp protest from Poindexter's attorney.
To take a long leap forward to the end of a trial and suggest that my client would be convicted and then maybe only get a suspended sentence is nothing less than outrageous.
Poindexter's somewhat relaxed performance was in contrast to a more solemn one by Colonel North, who also repeatedly invoked the Fifth Amendment.
Did you make the decision to put some of the proceeds of the arms sales to Iran into an account for the use of the Contras?
Mr. Hamilton, on the advice of counsel, I respectfully and regretfully decline to answer the question based on my constitutional rights.
But North told the committee he is anxious to cooperate.
And I don't think there is another person in America that wants to tell this story as much as I do, sir.
Although the lack of answers frustrated many committee members, a few came to North's defense.
I read in the paper this morning, Colonel, that your colleagues, your classmates at Annapolis, established a fund to cover any legal expenses that might be incurred in these proceedings. It will be my privilege to contribute to that fund, as I hope many of my colleagues and I know hundreds of thousands of Americans will want to do.
Almost a century ago, Rudyard Kipling wrote a rather tragic poem about the ingratitude of all peoples toward their military forces in time of peacetime, and I'll just paraphrase the first of six lines. He's Ollie this and he's Ollie that. Get him out of here, the brute, but he's the savior of his country when the guns begin to shoot. Thank you for your service, Colonel North.
Chairman Dante Fassell said while he appreciates the circumstances, he believes testimony from the two men is critical to a full understanding of
probably
what happened.
Not. They were the key actors in this whole operation, and it's very hard to conceive at this point that they were operating alone.
The Foreign Affairs Committee may at some point in the future call North and Poindexter back for questioning.
The investigation that began with fired White House official Oliver North is now spreading to a retired U.S. Air Force officer, Major General Richard V. Secord. Appearing before a congressional committee, he refused to testify. The Justice Department says Secord is one of three men it wants Switzerland to help it investigate for possible fraud. The probe covers two Swiss bank accounts, Iran arms sales, and profits diverted to the Contras. Being investigated with Secord are North and a third person not identified. Critics claim the Reagan administration had to use Secord in its secret deals.
And you've got to have somebody out there that can do it in the private sector, that has the contacts, has the knowledge and the clout to pull it off, having the original backing of the administration. So yes, a Secord could do it.
Secord has many contacts around the world. He headed the U.S. military mission to Iran before the Shah fell. As a Pentagon official, he worked with Oliver North persuading Congress to sell radar planes to the Saudis. Secord heads a company that sold at least one plane to the Contras. His other companies also reportedly had dealings with them. After a plane crashed during secret supplies to the Contras, evidence emerged of phone calls last September from Contra safe houses in El Salvador to Secord. Israeli sources say Secord accompanied former White House official Robert McFarlane on the first leg of his trip to Iran last May. Later, just before hostage David Jacobson was freed, Secord and North dealt directly with the American ambassador to Lebanon, this allegedly behind the back of Secretary of State Shultz. A former White House official and business associate of Secord's told CNN he's sure that both North and Secord were merely carrying out orders. One thing Congress and the FBI want to know is, if that's so, then who gave those orders?
In addition to Secord, Admiral John Poindexter and Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the two other leading figures, have repeatedly taken the Fifth, North before two committees in one day. In part, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution reads that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself.
Colonel Oliver
so far, the principals have refused to answer most questions, raising speculation that they're seeking immunity from prosecution, a charge denied by North's attorney.
We are not seeking any kind of immunity. We're simply upholding his rights under the Constitution.
A senior White House official said the administration would support granting immunity in some cases, a view backed by Senator Orrin Hatch.
I think what we ought to do is get to the bottom of this problem, resolve it, get it over in the eyes of the American people, and assess blame wherever it should be assessed, but let's quit worrying about criminally prosecuting people.
But other senators argued that an independent counsel will be appointed to investigate possible criminal violations, and immunity should not be granted before that.
I don't know whether immunity is the solution. I don't know that the Intelligence Committee at this stage has to come up with a solution.
At the moment, the prevailing view in Congress seems to be not to grant immunity. Yet, unless it starts to look like the testimony is needed, because a more solid case is developed against those higher up in the White House.
William Casey's appearance before the House Foreign Affairs Committee was shrouded in his customary secrecy. After 5.5 hours of closed-door testimony, the CIA director refused to give details of what he told the committee. According to committee members who termed Casey's sworn testimony as highly classified, the CIA director insisted he was on the sidelines, that he had no advance knowledge of the diversion of funds from the Iran arms sales to the Nicaraguan Contras, and he denied any CIA bank account was used to secretly channel money to the Contras.
There seems to be an inordinate amount of information about which he's simply not aware. He often said, I don't know.
The day's most explosive charge came from New York Democrat Stephen Solars. He said based on testimony this week by Casey, Secretary of State George Shultz, and former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane, he is convinced President Reagan knew about the Iran-Contra operation.
There is some anonymous character who has emerged in the course of the last week known as the higher authority. And I think the identity of the higher authority is fairly clear, at least to me. I think it's the President of the United States.
I'm frankly outraged by what he just said.
I have heard the same testimony that he heard. Like Bill Broomfield, I'm not free to disclose what I've heard today and have absolutely no intention of doing that. But I must tell you that the testimony that I have heard, the cumulative testimony, which is the same testimony that Mr. Szolars heard, leads me not to the same conclusion at all. There is no evidence, absolutely no evidence that we have heard that would link the President of the United States to any of these illegal activities.
Other committee members hinted there is far more information to be uncovered.
When all of the dots are eventually linked on this, it will be, I won't use the word incredible, but it certainly will be extraordinary.
And the panel's ranking Republican, while praising Casey's testimony, criticized the CIA.
The bad news is that what Mr. Casey told us indicates serious errors of judgment by senior CIA personnel. The CIA will need to improve its internal oversight and control over certain operations.
The Senate Intelligence Committee also continued its own session into the Iran-Contra affair. It heard from Bob Dutton, an associate of retired General Richard Secord, a key figure in the operation. And the House Intelligence Committee questioned former National Security Advisors John Poindexter and Robert McFarlane, as well as Deputy CIA Director Robert Gates. The Foreign Affairs Committee says its work is far from over. The committee chairman describes the whole Iran-Contra operation as a giant three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle.
Fermark spent nearly 4 hours behind closed doors with the Senate Intelligence Committee. He is a former client of CIA Director William Casey, who spent 3 hours himself on Capitol Hill with the House Intelligence Committee. As he departed, Casey acknowledged his claim that Fermark was his first source of information about diversion of Iran arms sales money. Casey maintains he didn't know the funds went to the Contras until that disclosure from Attorney General Ed Meese in November.
He described this hopelessly complex and confusing network of financial relationships which had resulted in apparently a group of Canadian investors becoming upset that they were not going to have some money repaid to them.
According to Casey, Fermark contacted him to warn that the Canadians were planning to file a lawsuit because they hadn't received payment for the money they put up for Iran arms. Colleagues say Fermark also has substantial dealings with Saudi billionaire Adnan Khashoggi, himself identified as a middleman in the U.S.-Iranian arms deal. He was said to be upset about the funneling of money to the Contras. Khashoggi's biographer believes he concocted the story about Canadians to protect his identity while he tipped off Casey. Complicating this even more is the fact that many in Congress don't believe that Casey only learned of the diversion of profits from the Iran arms sale in October. The reaction to his story is either that it's untrue or incredible. Like his former bosses, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Earle refused to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee. The silence of these three witnesses is clearly angering the committee chairman.
These guys are being praised as national heroes around this country because of what they did for their country in this Iran case. If they're such heroes, then why are they deserting their country when they're finally being put to the true test of their commitment to this country?
That frustration is reflected by the incoming Senate Majority Leader.
But I think that it's a mockery for individuals to wear the uniform of our country and take the Fifth Amendment. It seems to me that they ought to take off the uniform or take off the Fifth Amendment.
Somebody is going to have to define for them what national hero means. It doesn't mean you come in here and you stiff the whole country.
National Security Council staff member Howard Teicher also refused to answer questions because his lawyer had not received proper security clearances. He will return next week.
The Hearings, the big story this week. I'm Ralph Wenge, CNN.